Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on OVNI. My guest today is Mark Grimm, and he's here for his monthly chat with me and all the Focus on OVNI listeners. And we're going to talk about what happened at the last county legislative meeting. And basically, the meeting dealt with technology. So, Mark, what actually transpired at the last county legislative meeting?
Yeah. Well, Tuesday night, it was a quiet meeting, which we often don't have, but there was a little debate. A couple of issues that may have come up were avoided. There was going to be a law committee meeting that ultimately got canceled over redistricting. Redistricting is how you draw the map, you know, for political
right.
districts, and it may seem like the general public doesn't have a lot of interest in that, but it's very important because it has a lot to say with who represents people in the county. So
right.
that's that, and the issue is how do you protect minority rights? Typically, the party in power uses it to their advantage to put the minority party at a disadvantage. And in Albany County, minorities themselves, I'm talking about African Americans, have been disadvantaged. In fact, there's been lawsuits, I think, the last three times they did these redistrictings. You have to do it every 10 years, and we're getting ready for the census, of course, in 2020. There were lawsuits because minority rights were being violated. So that's what we're trying to work out. We're trying to work out something where, yes, the majority ultimately has control, but the minority rights, both African American and Republicans in a minority where they are in the legislature, both their rights are respected too. So there's going to be more on that one because it's being revised. The plan is being revised.
Mark, let me ask you a question about redistricting. I know on the state level that the state legislature draws the maps for the state, meaning the state legislature, and also for the congressional districts in the state of New York. So it's the county who draws up the map for how the county is going to be represented, or is that state also?
No, the county legislature, what we're going to do is appoint a commission. They will draw the maps, and ultimately it's up to the county legislature to approve it. So the county does the county. But you're right, and that's why this blue wave in New York is very significant, because if it used to be when there was a Republican Senate, or regardless whether it's a Republican or Democratic governor, what really happened is a deal was made where the Republicans in the Senate said, hey, you let us cut up our districts, and we'll let the Democrats in the Assembly cut up their districts. And that's how it worked, basically. They ultimately, the whole legislature had approved it, but they said, you do your thing and we'll do ours. That's why the Assembly was over two-thirds Democrats, and yet the Senate was Republican. You say, how can that happen in the same state? It's because how you cut the lines. It's an indication of how powerful a pencil can be, of course, or computers now. But when you're drawing these lines, they can really make a difference. So now that the Democrats own everything, it's going to be very, very hard for the Republicans ever to regain the Senate again. Ever. But it will also affect congressional seats because, of course, the Democrats are going to cut the congressional seats to their favor. And it's going to be very hard, even for the Republicans who are left now, because they took a hit the other day. It's going to be hard for them to hold their seats.
Now, when you say you don't think that the Republicans are ever going to regain the state Senate, I think that's too strong a statement because, you know, an hour in politics could be a lifetime. Who knows what's going to come down the pike? So I think it's really difficult to make an assumption like that. What do you think?
Well, in our lifetime, we're not going to see it. You know, New York has gotten deeper blue, and now they have all the money. Now, it's going to be very hard for Republican senators now who were used to being in the majority are now in the minority. So a lot of the money that they were getting is going to move to the majority. That's just the way it works. The prospects of the Republicans, you know, and as a Republican, I'm not happy to say this, but the prospects of having a Republican Senate in New York are very, very dim. And that's likely to remain that way for a long time.
Okay, so on the county level, you said that there's going to be a redistricting process. Is it going to be an independent redistricting process, or are the legislators themselves going to draw the map?
Well, what constitutes independent? That's what the fight's over, Cynthia. We're going to have a commission. You appoint a commission, but the question is, who gets to appoint the members? Whoever controls the commission,
right,
obviously controls the process. And so that's the battle.
Right.
How who picks the members of the commission? And, you know, so how independent, quote unquote, it's going to be will really depend on how much, say, the minorities have in picking the commission. And that's what the battle. Now, of course, every 10 years you have to, by law, you have to do this because, you know,
right,
under the one person, one vote, you have to redo the by based on census numbers. You have to, you know, cut districts so they're relatively equal in terms of population. So that's why we have every group has to do this every 10 years. And the county, we, of course, have to have some kind of plan to do this, you know, with the census numbers. And that's what we're working on right now. And I expect that something will be passed in 2019.
So why,
but why it matters? Let me always turn it back to why it matters to people. What kind of representation they have is really affected by how these districts are cut. And so that's why they should be concerned. Obviously, the members are very concerned about it, as you might imagine, because it directly affects their prospects for reelection. So it's one of the hot. It's always one of the hottest topics with the members themselves.
So why I asked you that is, you know, you've been calling me a citizen journalist ever since we started doing County Ledge Spotlight. So I'm not part of the county legislature, but I'm interested in how the districts are going to be carved up. Can somebody like me, who's an average citizen, be put on that commission?
Absolutely. That's exactly what the intention is not to have a bunch of politicians, but have people who are not connected one way or the other, but who have some interest in politics. Obviously, you have to have some interest in government to be effective on the commission.
Right.
But absolutely, and I would encourage you to apply once the rules are set about who gets to pick the commission. We have to determine, because there will be exclusions. For example, elected officials will be excluded. I'm pretty certain of that. But you know, how far do you, and then party officers are probably going to be excluded. But how far do you go? I mean, if it excludes too many people, then there aren't any people who understand government or politics that are interested. So that's that's one of the things we're discussing now and debating, Cynthia, is how we make the rules as to who can be on the commission. But should average citizens be on the commission? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of my goals.
So everybody out there listening, who if you have an interest in the county government and you want to see how it's shaped, you know, Mark will update us from time to time on the status of it. I encourage everybody who's interested, including myself, to apply to be on the commission. I think it's very important.
One of the requirements, Cynthia, will be once we decide how to do it, is that we make this public and we make it open to anyone. Likely to anyone in Albany County. You know, likely, obviously, Albany County residency is probably going to be required. Although that's up to us too. We don't necessarily have to do it that way. But I think it's likely it would be an Albany County resident.
All right. Okay, so at the meeting the other night, technology seemed to be the theme. What transpired at the meeting?
Yeah, it's a couple of things that are quite interesting. One is there are a lot of people, especially kids now, they don't have landlines. They just have cell phones. And the question is, well, wait a minute, what if you have an emergency? What if somebody in your family has a heart attack and you're getting your signal dropped, you know, on the smartphone? I mean, this is really serious stuff. So we know just from feedback from our constituencies, there's certain areas of the county that they have a lot of, I know talking to some Colony members, they have some spots in Colony are just really bad at dropping calls, you know. So we want to study this and say, how do we fix this? So the sheriff has agreed to look into this, and he's the natural one to do it because he's involved with 911. The most critical issue here, of course, is 911. But in general, it's a nuisance when you're talking to somebody and you lose them. You know, so is it not enough cell towers, or is the signals are blocked, or whatever it is? We don't know what the answer is. But the sheriff can look into it, and he can talk to the people who put up cell towers. He can talk to the people that have put out smartphones. He's also got his emergency personnel there. So we want to know from the study, how can we fix it? Do we need more regulation? Maybe we need less regulations. It may be that, you know, the reason the coverage is we don't get the adequate coverage because there's too many regulations. You know, are there, you know, do we need to approve some towers? I don't know. But this is something that, you know, certainly there's a bipartisan, and I co-sponsored this resolution that says, let's look into this and figure out how we can really fix this, because this is a significant problem. This is what government should do. See a problem, fix a problem. You know, so
right.
I'm looking forward to those results and see if we can't do something about this. And I think this is something everybody can relate to. Anyone who's got a smartphone has probably lost service at one point or another. And it can be very annoying, minimal, and at the most, it can be very dangerous.
It's interesting because a few years ago, I was having breakfast with two friends of mine. One was an older gentleman, and one was a younger gentleman. And we talked about cell phones. And I had mentioned that years ago, the only means of communication was the landline that people had in their houses. And the older
yep.
gentleman said, and we had party lines then. Well, the younger
yes.
fellow
oh, yeah,
didn't
yeah.
even know what he didn't even know what a party line was. So
the kids
the
have no idea.
Technology.
I don't know what life is without the internet. Are you kidding, Cynthia? But now we're showing our age. A party line to explain for folks who don't know what a party line is. You'd share the line with others. When you pick up your phone, somebody would be on the phone. And sometimes
right.
people, we had one case where we had a real blabber, blah, 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 blah. She was on the phone all the time. So sometimes we'd have to say, excuse me, I want to make a call. These are people you do not know, by the way. You have no idea who's on your party line. It's just a bunch of people
right.
that are sharing a line. I know it sounds crazy this
right.
day and age, but this is the way it was. And, you know, you had a shared line with a number of other people. Thank goodness. But my concern, I have a landline just for emergencies. That's why we've kept the landline, even though it might be a little extra cost. Say you turn
uh-huh.
your cell phone off at night and you go to sleep and say you wake, say somebody has a heart attack or something. What are you going to do? Wait until your cell phone turns on? Or what if your battery's dead or you can't get service? I mean, this is
right.
an issue we really have to look at.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that cell phones was not the only issue that was brought up at the meeting. There was other issues, right?
Yeah, the other tech thing, you were right to summarize this as kind of a tech thing. I didn't think of it this way, but the other issue with tech was, I think, this upgrade of the TU Center. As you know, we're renovating the entire center, and it looks pretty good. I don't know if you've been there in a while. The front looks beautiful as you walk in. And
right.
you know, we're going to have heating and air conditioning in the front hall there. And but one of the concerns we have is people go there and they can't get service on. They can't get Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is the way you connect to the internet, you know, with your data. And it's, you know, we pick up the cost, basically the host. People can't really get Wi-Fi service, and that's particularly a problem, of course, with concerts, because you get a bunch of young kids that they live on their phones. They never put them down. So we really,
right.
and the concerts are the big money maker. That's how we make our money at the TU Center, concerts. So we want to be able to improve that service. So it's going to take a lot of upgrades, investment to do this. We agreed on $370,000, which is that's not chump change, you know. But I think it's a good investment because Bob Belber, who runs the TU Center, said, you know, when this is done, he expects he could handle 17,000 people in that building being able to get Wi-Fi. So it's a huge customer service issue that this is one of those things that a lot of people can relate to. Anyone who goes to the TU Center, you know, wants Wi-Fi on their phone. So hopefully by spring, sometime in the spring, we're going to have this upgrade completed. So that's good news. It'll make it a much more attractive venue for people to go there. And of course, we want people to go and buy tickets and sales tax and eat around in our restaurants and, you know, stay in our hotels. That's how we make money, particularly from people outside the area.
I think it's important, you know, because just a few weeks ago, Nancy Kerrigan's husband sealed the deal with the with the Times Union Center and the new convention center to have the Aurora Games here in the city of Albany. And if we're not up to snuff, you know, technology-wise, I don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah, no. It leaves a bad impression for the county. I mean, it's a county-run facility, county-owned, and
right.
You know, we've got the Capitol Center there because that was a problem. Room was a big problem for some of these big events, particularly, you know, for the basketball tournaments. We needed more room for media. They need a lot of space. So now we've
right.
taken care of that issue in terms of space, and now with the Wi-Fi, we're going to improve customer service. So. And then, of course, the renovations, the building's going to look a lot better. One of the things I want to fix are these elevators. I don't know if you've ever been in the elevators in the garage there, but they're terrible. And it's really they need some really a fresh coat of paint, if you will. So we're going to fix those, too. So I think, you know, people are going to be impressed ultimately with when everything's done. And it will bring people to downtown. And that's really important for our economy, is to bring people from the whole region. No, into downtown. Of course, everybody is for that. You know, so once again, that's kind of a bipartisan thing. We're saying, how can we, you know, help our community by generating some economic activity?
But you know something, I interviewed Jerry Solomon, who is Nancy Kerrigan's husband, who's putting this all together. And you know, you're talking about paint, you're talking about Wi-Fi, we're talking about women athletes from all over the world coming into Albany
yep.
last weekend in August. I just hope we're totally prepared for it. I had dinner a couple of weeks ago at the Hollow, and I was looking down Pearl Street, and I'm thinking there's a lot of vacant buildings here. Some of them are boarded up. And I feel personally embarrassed at Pearl Street when we're going to host an event for people all over the world. You know, I might be harsh in my criticism, but the games are going to be in August. And I think it's important that we shape up the city to make it hospitable to the rest of the world. What do you think?
Oh, sure. I mean, how do we do it is the question. By the way, this generating economic activity is how we do it. A lot of the restaurants and the stores down there rely heavily on the business that the TU Center does. You know, I'd like to see that building used every day of the year. You know, that'd be difficult to pull swing off. But that's our goal, is to have as many dates as possible. And we have people that have real connections in the industry, and bring in the basketball tournaments, the concerts, and anything that's going to generate interest and economic activity. And so a lot of those places live or die by what the TU Center does. Otherwise people don't tend not to go downtown. That's my impression. When there's no event there, there's very few people down there, it seems to me. So we want to just keep, I think we're going in the right direction. I mean, it's a big ticket item, and some people say, you know, should the county be in the business of having a TU center? And that's a fair question. But as long as we own it, we want to make the most out of it, and these upgrades will extend the life of the building probably 20, 25 years. You know, so you either had to fix it up or get rid of it is really the way I look at it.
Okay. What you said is important, that these events – you know, trigger people coming into the city. That's great, you know, but here's a given. Here's a given where people, women, and people who are with the athletes, and there might be people from all over the United States, all over the world, coming into Albany the last weekend in August. And, you know, the Times Union Center is good. The Convention Center is good. But I would like to see that whole area embracing all of the people that are going to come here and spend money And are they going to walk away saying Albany's a great city, or are they going to walk away and say, eh, Albany's really not that terrific? I think it's important that whoever is in charge of, you know, sprucing up the city to do it right now and make it hospitable for the rest of the world. The rest of the world will be coming into Albany.
Absolutely. And now you're talking about more about Albany city government, which is, you know, I'm a county legislator. So I'm doing everything I can as a county legislator to make these things work. But yeah, the city of Albany and their folks there, they need this, I think, boost their game a little. And I'm hopeful they will.
You know,
that's what elections are about.
You said the city of Albany, but, you know, Dan McCoy knows Jerry Solomon, and he was a, you know, major player in getting the games here. So whether you talk about the city or county, I think each one has a responsibility. All the local officials have a responsibility to make the city beautiful and welcoming for all of these women from all over the world in August.
From a county level, that's what we're doing. I can only speak to the county perspective. That's what we're doing by improving the TU Center and improving the service there. We've taken some pretty significant steps. The look of that building is much nicer now. You talk about the look of the downtown. Functionally, it's much better. As I said, we'll have heating and air conditioning in there. The Wi-Fi service is going to be much better. There's $20 million in renovations. You know, the parking garage and elevators are going to be improved. So we're doing our part, you know, to make it as appealing as possible. And you're right. We want people to leave here with a good impression when they visit. So they'll come back and stay in those hotels. When you stay in a hotel in Albany County, there's a hotel tax, which is typical of most places. And that hotel tax is over $8.5 million a year. That's a big number. And we have to share a good chunk of that with the convention center now, and that's another issue. But, you know, that's, you know, along with sales tax, there's an extra hotel tax. And, you know, so, if you know, the more we're booming, that the more money comes back into our coffers, which we can do one of two things with it. We can give it back to taxpayers, or we can spend it. Now, there's a lot of people who always want to spend it, and I'm one who tends to think we can give more back to the taxpayer. But in the end, we're going to do a little of both.
So was anything else discussed at the meeting the other night?
I think that's pretty much it. Those were you've hit on the major points. Coming up for net, we're negotiating the budget now. So that's something to look for next month, Cynthia, along with this redistricting. We'll see how far along this redistricting plan comes. But those are the two things to keep an eye on for next month.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned the budget. I know in the city of Albany there's a $12.5 million deficit. How is the how's the fiscal health of Albany County?
It's good. We, you know, the economic boom, by the way, people love to, you know, trash Trump in New York State, but the reality, the national economic boom has had a tremendous positive effect on Albany County. We're projecting a lot more sales tax next year. And, you know, we make, you know, all our property taxes just over $90 million. It's about $93, $94 million. It's about $270 million for our sales tax. So our sales tax is about three times what our property tax is. And the sales tax, of course, is related all to business activity. What are people buying? You know, so a strong national economy has had a really good impact on Albany County, and that's why we're having a pretty good year here. And I expect that the taxpayers will pay less in 2019 than they did in 2018, and that's an achievement.
Oh, that is an achievement. So we'll talk again in December.
Yes.
So the sick leave thing, that's still being negotiated?
Yes, yes. They don't have the votes to pass it, in my view, so that's why it hasn't come to the floor, because usually if you don't have the votes, you don't bring it to the floor. But that's something
okay.
The opposition is very strong against that, and rightfully so. Both business and nonprofits have been very critical of that plan, and rightfully so.
So do you have any idea the timetable as to whether or not that will be passed?
No. No one does.
Okay.
We only know now that it's in a limbo period in the committee, and both sides are trying to push they're pushing their advocacy of it, but no one can say right now what ultimately is going to happen with that.
Okay. All righty. So we'll talk again in December.
Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, Cynthia. It's so great always talking with you on the County Led Spotlight. I hope people share this podcast with as many people as they can, because I think it provides a pretty good window on what's happening in their county.
Thank you. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes, have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Great. It's always great talking to you, Mark. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful holiday season. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll talk again. Bye.
Thank you.